And now, Lifestyles Unlimited presents the Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Over the next hour, we unfold your map to financial freedom. You'll learn how to retire through investing in single-family and multifamily real estate. You'll learn how to create cash flow and build wealth so you can have the time and money to live the lifestyle you want.
Welcome to the show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, I'm working on your financial freedom. And on today's show, what I want to do is I want to reflect back on what happened on Monday. So some of you are going, wait a minute, what? It's Wednesday. Why are we reflecting back on what happened on Monday? Well, because what happened on Monday is kind of an important day for me. I'm a United States veteran. That's exactly what I am. I am a veteran, and we had a day dedicated to me and people like me. Now, who's a veteran? Who are these veterans? And why do we have a day dedicated just to veterans? Well, to put it succinctly, one of the reasons we exist as the United States of America is because there are plenty of people that were willing to stand up and fight for our freedoms. For the freedoms that you enjoy today, the freedoms that I enjoy today, there were people that stood up and fought for those freedoms, and many of those people did not come home. Many of those people gave their lives so that you can have the life that you have right now. Pretty impressive stuff, isn't it? So what is it about these veterans? What causes them to do what they do? Why would anybody raise their right hand and say, I will defend this against all enemies, foreign and domestic? Because we're Americans. Because we love this country. We love the people in this country. We don't always agree with everybody in the country, but we love our fellow American citizens. We love our way of life. Somebody died to hand me this way of life, and I was willing to die for you so that you can have your way of life. Kind of interesting, huh? You know, to understand a military veteran, there's some things you have to know about the mindset. There is a mindset when it comes to military veterans. So let's talk a little bit about that mindset. You know, as a veteran, we left home as teenagers in our early 20s for an unknown adventure. We loved our country enough to defend it and to protect it with our own lives. We said goodbye to friends and family and everything we knew. We learned the basics, and then we scattered to the winds, to the far corners of the earth. We found new friends and new family. We became brothers and sisters, regardless of color, race, or creed. We had plenty of good times and plenty of bad times. We didn't get enough sleep. We smoked and we drank too much. Yeah, I'll admit it. You know, we picked up good habits and we picked up some bad habits. We played hard and we worked hard together. We didn't earn a great wage. You know, no, serving in the military is not a wealth-building activity, just in case you weren't aware. We experienced the happiness of mail call and the sadness of missing important events. We didn't know when or even if we were going to see home again. We grew up fast, and yet somehow we never grew up at all. We fought for our freedom as well as the freedom of others. Some of us saw actual combat, and some of us didn't. Some of us saw the world, and some of us didn't. Some of us dealt with physical warfare. Most of us dealt with psychological warfare. We have seen and experienced and dealt with things that we can't fully describe or explain, as not all of our sacrifices were physical in nature. We participated in time-honored ceremonies and rituals with each other, strengthening our bonds and camaraderie. We counted on each other to get our jobs done, and sometimes just to survive it at all. We have dealt with victory and tragedy. We have celebrated and mourned. We lost a few along the way. When our adventure was over, some of us came back home. Some of us started somewhere new, and some of us never came home at all. We were told amazing, hilarious stories of our exploits and our adventures. We share an unspoken bond with each other that most people don't experience and few will understand. We speak highly of our own branch of service, and we poke fun at all the other branches because they deserve it. We know, however, that if needed, we will be there for our brothers and sisters, and we will stand together as one in a heartbeat. Being a veteran is something that has to be earned, and it can never be taken away. It has no monetary value, but at the same time, it's a priceless gift. People see a veteran, and they thank them for their service. When we see each other, we give a little upwards head nod, or a slight smile, knowing that we have shared and experienced things that most people have not and will not ever experience. So from myself to the rest of the veterans out there, whether you're currently serving or you have served, I commend and I thank you for all that you have done and for all that you have sacrificed for our country. Try to remember the good times and make peace with the bad times. Share your stories, because you've got some great stories. But most importantly, stand tall, stand proud, for you have earned the right to be called a veteran. And ladies and gentlemen, I am a veteran. Now, there's somebody else, or technically there's somebody's else. I don't know if that's proper English, but I don't care. The point I want to make is that there's another group of people that are technically veterans, but you never think about them as being veterans. So you're thinking right now, you're thinking, your mind is racing. Your mind is trying to figure out, who are these people that could be classified as veterans that we don't necessarily think about as veterans? Well, here, I'll give you some hints. You ready? Joe Biden. Did you get it? You didn't get it off Joe Biden? Okay. Let me add another one. Donald Trump. Now some of you are like yelling at the radio, because those are two people that are, you know, diametrically opposed to each other, right? But here's the one thing they have in common, besides them being presidents. You ready for it? Commander-in-chief. Commander-in-chief. We, as United States citizens, we elect the commander-in-chief. And the commander-in-chief serves as the commander-in-chief while they serve concurrently as the president of the United States. They are two mutually interchangeable duties, if you will, that the president has, being the president of the United States and the commander-in-chief. So I have to step back and I have to thank Joe Biden for serving as the commander-in-chief for the last 3.5, almost 4 years. I have to step back and I have to thank Donald Trump for serving as the commander-in-chief for the 4 years that he served as the United States president. And then, of course, I can go on. I can thank Barack Obama. I can thank the Bushes. I can thank Mr. Clinton. I can thank all of these presidents going back in time. But we're in a very unique situation right now. We're in a unique situation where a previous commander-in-chief will become the commander-in-chief again. Now, I'm not going to talk about anything to do with military aspects of being the commander-in-chief. No, I'm not. I'm gonna change the subject right now. Because what I want to talk about is something that, well, we have a very unique opportunity to talk about. There's a situation going on in this country right now where the president of the United States will be the president whom we had in a previous period. The last time this happened, you have to go all the way back to Grover Cleveland. Hopefully I got the guy's name right, and hopefully I got the right president. That's how long ago it was, when we had a president that served and then didn't serve and then was elected again to serve. We have that situation now, and it's polarizing to the country. It's very polarizing to the country. I will tell you, I've been looking at Facebook. I don't know, I'm not supposed to look at Facebook that much, but I do. I look at Facebook because I've got a lot of friends on Facebook. As a matter of fact, a lot of my veteran buddies are on Facebook, and that's how I interact with them. That's how I stay connected with them. But enough about Facebook. Let's talk about Donald Trump, and let's talk about the fact that he's been reelected, and we have a very unique situation where we can look back at what Donald Trump did as a president. We have that legacy information. We know what he did as president, and then we know what he did when he wasn't president, right? Because Joe Biden became the president, so we had a new president. And now the American people have spoken. The American people have selected the orange man, President Trump, to be president again. So what does this mean to us as real estate investors? What are some of the takeaways from the previous Trump administration that we can look at that might give us some insight as to what he will do as the president this time? Now, think about it. The election's over. It's done. You're either happy or you're not happy. I can't change that. I can't change. As much as I'd like to give all of you a hug that are not happy, I don't have that many hugs in me. I'm serious. But at the end of the day, we have to come together as Americans. We as Americans came together under Joe Biden. We as Americans did come together under President Trump. We came together under Obama. We came together under the Bushes. We came together under the Clintons. We came together all the time. And even though we let our political biases impact how we maybe feel about the other person, at the end of the day, we're still Americans. So what does this have to do with President Trump? Well, a lot. There's a lot of things that President Trump did during his presidency from 2017 to 2021. And the U.S. residential real estate market experienced several significant trends and shifts that were influenced by various economic policies, tax reforms, and even a pandemic response. Yeah, you remember the pandemic, right? Because we all lived through the pandemic. So what I want to talk about is I want to talk about some of the things that he did, because we can use them as a sounding board to discuss things that he may do in his new administration. And why do we want to know that? Because we, as real estate investors, we want to understand where the markets are moving towards. We want to understand what the markets are doing. So part of that analysis is understanding the unknown. We come back from the break. I'm going to get into Trump's previous policies. Stick around.
Got questions? Call Lifestyles Unlimited at 855-497-4335. The Real Estate Investor Radio Show continues next.
A Lifestyles Unlimited team of real estate investing mentors and educators want to meet you. Learn to retire in 5 years or less. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join for just $297. Lifestyles Unlimited.
Listening to Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show will change your life. Now, here's your host.
Welcome back to the second half of the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. I use the word "we're" because I realized about a week and a half ago, I indicated to you guys that I was going to start using the term "we're working on your financial freedom" because there's a whole bunch of people that support me. There's a whole bunch of people that support you as part of the Lifestyles Unlimited community. So I really need to start saying "we're" a lot more as opposed to "me," because it's not just me that's helping you understand that real estate is the conduit that you need in your portfolio that will help you get to a place of retirement in 5 years or less. That's not a pipe dream. That's reality, folks. I mean, let me just give you some backstory on me. I retired from the United States Army after 27 years. I earned that coveted pension, and I tried to live off of that pension. But here was the problem with the pension. Even though it pays me every month, time in and time out, it's not enough money for me to live off of. It's not enough money for me to sustain my household with, unless I really want to, you know, change a lot of things. And I'm not willing to change a lot of things. So what happened? Well, I had to get back into the workforce because that's the only thing I knew how to do was trade time for money. So I got back into the workforce, and this is all going on in 2014. In 2017, I mean, we're talking 3 years later, I discovered Lifestyles Unlimited. And this is after working for several years in a job I was really just getting tired of working in. I was just going through the motions. So I discover Lifestyles Unlimited. I become a member. I join the Preferred Investor Group program, and we start investing in multifamily apartment communities, something that I never knew that I could do, but I did. And we invested in the multifamily apartment communities, plus we fixed some problems that we had with single family assets that we owned, and we went through a whole metamorphosis with this on the single family side and wound up turning negative cash flow and basically losing propositions into home run hits. We did. And we did that with the knowledge that we gained by becoming a Lifestyles Unlimited member. So what was my result? 2019, 2 years. 2 years after becoming a member of Lifestyles Unlimited, I retired myself and I retired my wife. We achieved financial freedom, and it was amazing. And ever since then, ever since the age of 55, I've been retired. I've been loving it. I've been totally enjoying my retired lifestyle. It gets a little boring from time to time because all my friends are still, they're still working. They're still working on getting to a place of retirement because it doesn't happen overnight. It is a process that takes some time. Kind of like the Trump tax cuts and the Job Act that he imposed on the American people back in 2017. Do you remember that? Yeah, the 2017 Tax Cuts and Jobs Act capped the mortgage interest deduction at $750,000, down from the previous $1 million. Now, this reform particularly impacted high-cost housing markets like California, New York, other parts of the Northeast, where high home prices make larger mortgages much more common. So what happened? Were real estate investors affected by that? And the answer is no, because our interest that we pay on our assets is treated differently than the interest you pay as a residential owner of an asset. Yes, you as a residential owner of an asset that you buy to live in that you do not choose to rent out to somebody else. See, that's what was affected. So there were people that had their mortgage interest deduction impacted and they didn't like it. But when you look at the type of real estate that we buy as single family investors at Lifestyles Unlimited, the majority of the properties we're buying, well, back in 2017, I would say the price point was probably around $200,000. That price point is adjusted upwards today to probably around $250,000, maybe $300,000. But the point I'm trying to make is that the interest that we write off as real estate investors is not capped. The only thing that got capped was your personal mortgage interest deduction. Pretty interesting, right? What about the state and local tax deduction cap? They called it the SALT tax, S-A-L-T. And the SALT tax limited deductions to $10,000, which affected homeowners. Now get this, in high tax states, states like California, states like New York, parts of the Northeast. Pretty interesting, right? So what did this do? This made owning homes in those states more expensive, which reduced demand and impacted home prices. So in those areas where pricing was really just unsustainable, those areas got affected. Now, as a real estate investor, am I worried about this SALT tax? And the answer is no, because it doesn't impact real estate investors. Do you understand what I'm saying here so far? Okay, let me give you one more. Many buyers were deterred from purchasing higher priced homes in high tax regions. However, in lower tax, lower cost areas, demand remained steady and even grew in those areas that became more attractive in comparison. Kind of interesting, right? So Who were the winners and who were the losers? Well, it seems like to me that the people that were buying the high-priced houses to live in, they were the losers. But who were the winners? I would say the real estate investors were the winners. Why can I say that? Because they weren't affected by any of that stuff. The Tax Cuts and Job Act, the TCJA, impacted homeownership costs only for those assets that you live in and consume. Now, I technically have one of those assets. And I was technically affected by that because I actually own an asset that I live in that's worth well over $1 million. And I've got a mortgage on that property that's, I don't know, I think it's somewhere in the neighborhood of $800,000, $900,000. So I'd be affected by it. But at the end of the day, does it prevent me from doing what I'm trying to accomplish in my life? And the short answer is no, because it's not affecting what I'm trying to do as a real estate investor. Here's something else that happened as a result of the Trump presidency. There was rising demand in the Sun Belt and the affordable markets of the United States. Throughout Trump's term, migration to the Sun Belts, like the states like Texas, Florida, Arizona, migration increased. And this was partly driven by lower taxes, more affordable housing, and warmer climates, which made these states popular choices for retirees and remote workers. Now, listen carefully. Made these states popular choices for retirees and remote workers. Sounds like your customer base is changing. Sounds like if you're in those states like Texas, Florida, and Arizona, and you have people moving in, and those people coming in are retirees, or those people coming in are remote workers. That tells me you have an increase to your population base. That is good for real estate investing. Cities like Austin, Nashville, Charlotte, they saw robust demand growth leading to increases in home values. And we're in a very unique situation where we can analyze what Trump did in his 4 years in office from 2017 to 2020, and we can get a reading on that. We can. And then based on that reading, we can make certain assumptions as to what he might do as president. Now, of course, we can listen to what he says. he's going to do, but until he actually does it, he hasn't actually done it, right? So we have to look at what his past results have been. And that gives us some insight as to whether or not we, as real estate investors, are going to be happy. Now, here's something else that happened during his last term. There was a low interest rate environment and a home buying surge. In response to fluctuating economic conditions, the Federal Reserve kept interest rates relatively low, making borrowing cheaper. This incentivized home buying and refinancing and contributed to demand across various price points in the real estate markets. Now, you can't tell me you don't remember this happening, because this happened. As a matter of fact, I have a 2.85% interest rate on my principal residence as a result of this policy. Yeah, the interest rates were the lowest we've ever seen in my lifetime, and it'd be kind of interesting if we ever get back to them, right? Now, ironically, interest rates where they are today are about where they've normally been throughout my lifetime. Did you know that? You didn't know that, did you? See, a lot of you were raised in this low interest rate environment, and you think that's natural, but it's not natural. It's not a natural environment at all. And when we talk about the effect on affordability, while lower interest rates increased affordability initially, higher demand and limited supply drove prices up. This effect was especially prominent from mid-2020 onward, as the onset of the COVID-19 pandemic led to suburban migration trending. Pretty interesting stuff, right? Little ancient history going on there, right? All right, so what happened? What happened during the presidency when COVID-19 happened? Should we worry about that? Should we even concern ourselves with another pandemic happening? After all, the last pandemic that happened was like 100 years prior. Well, the bad guys in this world, there are bad guys in this world, whether you knew it or not, there are bad guys in this world. The bad guys in this world want the incoming president to die. They want to kill him. They do. So what about the rest of us? Do they want to kill us too? Possibly. Very possibly they want to kill us too. Now, there's all kinds of conspiracies out there regarding the COVID-19 pandemic and how it started and how it grew and if there were some crazy ideas to destroy America with a virus. Is it true or not? I don't know. I mean, I've got my opinions on the whole thing, but at the end of the day, could that effect happen again? And the short answer is, well, it happened once. What would prevent it from happening again? So we probably have to keep ourselves on guard for another pandemic during this guy's presidency. Trust me, I don't want to go through another pandemic, but the bad guys out there may formulate a plan where we have to do that again. So what does that do to real estate investing, the pandemic? Well, the last pandemic has accelerated a shift towards suburban and rural markets as many people sought more space for remote work and lifestyle changes. Cities like New York and San Francisco experienced rent declines, while suburbs and smaller cities saw price increases and demand spikes. Suburban areas around metro areas like Phoenix, Austin, and Dallas reported double-digit home price appreciation during 2020. The demand for larger homes with home office space became a significant trend. How does that impact you as a real estate investor? Well, if it causes prices to go up and you own assets, you're the beneficiary of that trend, right? What about construction and inventory challenges? What was going on with those things? Well, the pace of new home construction lagged behind demand. So high land and material costs coupled with labor shortages constrained supply, especially in affordable and entry-level housing segments. With a limited housing supply, prices increased consistently throughout Trump's term, exacerbated in 2020 by heightened demand. Now, homeownership became increasingly unaffordable for many first-time buyers due to these constraints. And we're still living in that right now. We are. There are many first-time home buyers out there that are sitting on the sidelines because they feel they don't have the purchasing power, or they know in their heart that they can't buy the house that they really want because it's out of reach, because home prices have gone up and interest rates have gone up. So how does that affect us as real estate investors? We're fine. Why are we fine? Because we analyze the deal going into the deal. We understand the numbers going into the deal. We know how to make money whether prices are going up or prices are going down. We know how to make money whether rents are going up or rents are going down. We know how to do the right things in the marketplace because we have been trained by Lifestyles Unlimited. Lifestyles Unlimited has just conditioned our minds and our brains to understanding what goes on in the marketplaces. And the whole purpose for today's show is to get you thinking about the future. It's to get you to understand that change will occur in this country. Whether you want change to occur or not is immaterial. Change will occur in this country. Joe Biden will leave the White House. Kamala Harris will not take over control of the White House. Donald Trump will become the president again, like he was from 2017 to 2020. Don't worry about the negative stuff that's floating through your mind about a Trump presidency, because here's what I want to tell you. You can't change any of it. You can't change what he's going to do. You can't change what he's not going to do. You can't change the effect that he will have on residential income producing real estate markets. But I'm here to tell you, President Trump will have an effect on those markets. And that effect will creep out across the entire nation. What we have to understand as real estate investors is what the effect is. What is the effect doing in the economy? Are prices going up? Are prices going down? Are rents going up? Are rents going down? Can we still buy assets that cash flow? Can we still buy assets that allow us to capture equity? Can we buy assets that allow us for principal pay down? Can we buy assets that allow for natural appreciation? Can we buy assets that take advantage of all the tax advantages afforded to real estate investors? These are the questions we have to ask ourselves. And as we go into a new presidency and we reflect upon all of the people that have made this nation a rousing success for all of us, because all of us are living in a free nation. I know some of you in the back of your mind, you're thinking, this is going to be terrible. This is going to be bad when Trump takes control. You need to wipe those thoughts out of your mind. You have to understand he's a man just like everybody else. He's a man with a whole lot of power, but he's a man like everybody else. And he will do some things that will benefit you as a real estate investor. You just have to understand what those things are. You have to understand what they are, and you have to understand what you need to do in order to take advantage of the change that's coming. Because that change, it's coming. I will tell you this. If you want to do what I'm doing, you want to do what the 50,000 members of Lifestyles Unlimited are doing, you want to do what Del Walmsley, our founder and CEO, is doing, go to lifestylesunlimited.com, sign up for a free workshop, and let's get you going.
Thank you for listening to Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. We want to meet you as well. Sign up for a free workshop at lifestylesunlimited.com. Until next time, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.